worship in the sense that we all are together this morning in an assembly. The Bible talks about an assembly. And singing in the assembly, Romans 15 talks about it. Verse 12. That is true that we worship in an assembly, but while that's true, we worship as an individual. 1 Corinthians 11 and in verse 28, they were partaking of the Lord's Supper in the assembly, but let every man examine himself. And so let him eat. Remember that? You examine yourself. There's a sense in which I cannot examine you. And you cannot examine me. You examine yourself. 1 Peter 3:7 tells me it's possible my prayers could be hindered because of what I've personally done. My life may not hinder your worship. And there may be something amiss in your life that's not going to hinder my worship. This has to do with the husband and wife relationship, and if it is what it ought to be, your prayers are not hindered. But it could be that your relationship to your mate or something else you've done hinders your prayers. So that all argues for the fact that all of our worship is individual. Though we make corporate have corporate worship, and we work together in worship, all worship is individual. Now, I can't let others do my worship for me. You say, what do you mean you can't let that do that for you? Let's take the command to sing. Let's take Ephesians 5:19. You know the passage. Ephesians 5:19, speak to yourselves. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing is something where I bear responsibility to do that for myself. You may sing better than me, but I can't let you sing for me. I may rather listen to you sing than listen to myself. But you can't sing for me. I am amazed. Listen to me carefully. I am amazed. And every song leader who stands before this crowd can say amen to what I'm about to say. I am amazed to see the number of mouths that never open during a song. During an invitation song. That's when I'm standing and singing. And every song leader can look out and say, I see people that have their mouth closed and we're singing and not a word is being uttered and others are trying to do that for you or you're letting others do that for you. You can't do that. You've got to sing for yourself. Bear personal responsibility. You say, I can't sing. God said, sing. God said, sing. Well, I don't do too well. God didn't say do it well. God said, sing. God said, sing. Open your mouth and sing. Well, I'm a little embarrassed. How are you going to be embarrassed at the judgment when God says, why didn't you sing? Sing. In the matter of praying. It is true that others lead. 1 Corinthians 14. One who is leading. 1 Corinthians 14. One's leading in prayer. How can he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the beginning of thanks if he speaks in another one's tongue? It's the idea of one leading and others following. So yes, we have a brother come, as David did a moment ago, and he leads us. That wasn't David's prayer. That's our prayer. He's leading us, as per 1 Corinthians 14:16. But I must follow, and I must be able to say amen at that, meaning I'm following every word of that. And so that was my prayer. I've got bears personal responsibility during the prayer. The same thing is true in giving. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store. Let every one of you lay by in store. As you've been prospered. You say, well, I haven't been prospered much. Well, then give accordingly. We fail our children sometime when we don't teach them the principle of giving and giving to the Lord. And when they grow up sometimes and they get started in life, they don't have a lot and they think, then I don't have to give because I don't have a lot. You bear personal responsibility. Your parents can't give for you. Your children can't give for you. Your neighbors can't give for you. Those who are more wealthy cannot give for you. The Lord's Supper. You bear personal responsibility for what you're thinking, what's going on, and your participation therein. For the study of the Word, what's going on now, how well you're paying attention. You bear responsibility for your own worship. Now, let's talk about another principle here. You bear responsibility for your own control of your life. Now, if others control us, then there's no personal responsibility, is there? If your parents control you, in other words, they make all decisions for you. If your mate does the same thing, or maybe it's fellow Christians who do the same thing, then there is no personal responsibility. Others cannot control all of your decisions and actions and your thoughts. Many of you may remember a story I told a number of years ago about a young man who came and struggled financially, and he asked me to help him with his finances, and so I helped him get a budget together. This is how you work a budget. And he finally said, I'll tell you what, this works better if you, what I want you to do is take all my money, and I'll bring my paycheck to you, and you just keep all my money, and you just give me what you would allow me to spend so all my bills will be paid, and just let me have what I can freely spend because I don't know that I can handle it. No, for two reasons. Number one, I don't want to touch your money. Number two, you would never learn anything. You never learn principles of self-discipline if somebody's doing that for you. You've got to learn for yourself. Let's look at the principle that Jesus talked about in Mark 18, verse 34. You know the passage well. He that would come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You need to learn to say no to yourself. Self-discipline, self-control. And one of the Christian virtues that we often talk about, having to debate virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance, self-control. You bear responsibility for controlling yourself. And so here's what that means. It means I take responsibility for my thoughts. I control them. You don't control my thoughts. I take responsibility for my words. I control them. I take responsibility for my actions. I control them. It means that I don't blame others for what I fail to do. It means I don't expect others to do what I can do for myself. It means you bear responsibility. Let's consider another principle. Personal responsibility means you are responsible for your own providing. Your own providing. How so? Well, God expects us to provide for ourselves. You remember Ephesians 4:28? Let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands, that he may have to give to him that hath need. God expects us to work and provide for ourselves. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, you remember this one well. We quote this frequently. Man won't work, neither should he eat. Whether we know where it's found or not, we know how to quote that. Man won't work, neither should he eat. That tells me God expects a person to provide for themselves. He ought to work. If he's not going to do that, he ought not eat. Without going to Proverbs 6, chapter 6 and verse 8 talks about how even the ant, we can learn a lot from the ant. The slugger needs to go to the ant and look because the ant provides for himself. Something that many in our society have not learned. Now, when that's not possible, the Bible group has a provision where family provides for family. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you will. When that's not possible, 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, family provides for family. In other words, the first responsibility is going to be upon family members. Look at verse 3, or verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 5. If any woman has children or grandchildren, let them first show piety at home and repay their parents. What does that say? Well, that's saying that if someone is in need, the first responsibility falls upon their children and grandchildren before anybody else bears any responsibility to that. Now, God expects us to provide for ourselves, but when that's not possible, family provides for family. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8, same text. Verse 8 said, if a man does not provide for his own, we often quote that in the context of a man providing for his wife and his children, but he's talking in the context of taking care of their needy family members like a widow. He's denied the faith and is worse than the infidel. Verse 16, if any man believing has a widow, a man or woman believing has a widow, let them relieve them and let not the church be charged. In other words, the responsibility is for family to provide for family. That comes first before any church obligation. It is amazing at times that someone may approach the church, and George and I have this happen once in a while. Could the church help in this circumstance? Well, we may can. Let's talk about that. Can the church take out of its treasury and help? Is there any family member that has some money that can help? Well, I don't want to ask them. I'm embarrassed to ask any of the family, but I don't mind asking the church. But I don't want to ask my family because I would be embarrassed to ask them. I don't want them to know my need. My friend, you have forgotten the principle of 1 Timothy 5. You've forgotten that principle somewhere. Because the responsibility first is to family and then to the church later on. In fact, 1 Corinthians 16 tells me there comes a time when the church has to help needy members, like 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, helping the needy saints. And other passages that could be cited, like 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 16. Personal responsibility means that others do not owe us.
It is not the responsibility of the church to provide what we can provide for ourselves. It is not the responsibility of government to do that. That's not the role that God laid out for government, Romans 13. It is not the responsibility of others who have more than us. Sometimes our attitude is that someone has more than I have. They're quite to do, and they have some money. And they ought to provide for me. That's not their responsibility. My responsibility is to provide for myself. That's personal responsibility. That's personal responsibility. One last thing in the lesson is yours. You're going to face personal responsibility for your own judgment in the end of time. Matthew chapter 25 tells me that the day is coming when there would be a judgment. And I'm not going to analyze the passage because the passage, you remember, is the day when there would be dividing the sheep from the goat, the right from the left. And following on the heels of Matthew 24, at the end of Matthew 24, talks about the end of time. There's coming a judgment day in which there's going to be the separation from the right and the left. What's going to happen in that judgment? Well, here's what I want you to see. Each one of us is going to give an account of himself to God. Romans 14, verse 12, each one will give an account of himself before God. Every person gives an account of himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body, whether it be good or evil. We must all appear. And what that passage tells me is that in the day of judgment, I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account for myself. My parents, oh, they'll be at the judgment too, but they can't say, well, wait a minute. Now, the reason they cannot give any defense. My wife, my children can't be there and say, well, wait a minute. We would like to take responsibility for. I have to give an account for myself. And you'll give an account for yourself in the day of judgment. That's personal responsibility. If in life you're always shoving the blame to someone else and always expecting someone else to take up for you and take up the slack, there's at least going to be one time you're going to stand there on your own two feet. And you'll give an account for yourself, and that's in the day of judgment. Are you ready for the judgment? We bear personal responsibility for our own sin, for our own obedience, our own faith, our own relationship and service to God, our own study and our own worship and our own control and our own providing. And finally, in our own judgment. The responsibility rests upon your shoulders. Are you a Christian? You say, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm not a child of God. I'm not yet a Christian. The responsibility is yours to become one, even this very morning. Would you become one? And believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?